Morning, carrying on. Halachas to do with Purim and the lead up to Purim. We finished off yesterday talking about whether you say Kel Mole Rachamim and whether you say Abba Rachamim on the four parshas. You said each place according to their own minute. Carries on Nitta Gavriel. Omrim Piyutim B'Shachris Kamosh Nifas B'Sidurim. So let's say we're talking about these apply to all the special parashas, all the special haftorahs. You say piyutim in shachris, kamosha nitfas besidurim, as published in sidurim. It's view number one. V'yei shermin, some say she'ein omrim piyutim klal, you don't say at all. And view number three. V'yei shnagim lomrim acha chazor sashat, you don't say them during chazor sashat, but afterwards. So who are the three views? The first view is the levush, Prima Godim and the Mishnah Berurah. The second one you don't say at all is Chassidei Chabad and Poland, and Degel Machane Ephraim brings from Degel Machane Yehuda brings from Stretton as well. They didn't say. The third view, when do you say it after Chazaras Hashat? That view brought B'Shem the Gro and also the Chassam Sofer. So not during Shemon Esra, but afterwards. So that's regarding Shachris. Yesh Nagin, some have the Minig. She'ein Omrim Klal Piyutim Musaf, don't say Piyutim at all at Musaf. V'yeh She'ein Omrim Piyutim B'Shachris, and some have a minig not to say Piyutim at Shachris. Ach b'Musaf shel Shabbos Shkolim v'Achodesh Omrim, but on Musaf of Shkolim and Achodesh they do say. Again, who are the different views? The view of not to say at all is Minag Sfaradim, Chabad, and the Vilna Gaon, and apparently is the majority minig in Eretz Yisroel. The second view of you don't say a chachris, but you do say in Musaf a Shkolim Nachodesh, that's brought by the Lemutei Ma'arich, and some say in the Sidurim Ashkenaz, there's also a special piyut for Parshas Zohar. Piyut shel kodim kedusha nikra siluk. There's one long piyut which is before kedusha. It's called siluk v'yesh omer b'kavona. One should say it with kavona. Why is that? It brings a big note. Siddur Yeshuas Yisrael brings. Shari hasiluk de kodim kedusha umea kalir. The siluk before kedusha was written by the kalir, who wrote many of the piyutim and kinnas as well. Kivur b'duch de tuva, brought in many places. Gamroim b'chush kesha omerim ze b'kavona nis'ore la'avas Hashem Yisparach. One sees tangibly, one says this for Kavona, one is aroused for love Hashem. Why? Ki piyutim achirim kosher l'stam odom lahovin pirush hamilus. The other piyutim, it's generally hard for an average person to understand what's going on. Avo b'siluk d'kodim kedusha hu kal lahovin. But the siluk before kedusha is easy to understand. V'alidei zeh mevin inyan kedushas hayo. He will understand the holiness of the day, v'nis oro l'avodas Hashem Yisborach, and he'll be aroused to serve Hashem better. V'lochein yesh limchus b'yad osom she'einam rotzim loma siluk kodim kedusha. One should remonstrate with those who don't want to say the long siluk before kedusha. V'harei kol odom nivra rak l'avodas Hashem Yisborach. Each person was created only to serve Hashem. V'zeh miklal ha'mitzvos avas Hashem is one of the mitzvos of loving Hashem. Loma lefon divrei tishbochos v'sehilos, to say words of praises. Okay, so that's a little thing on the piyut. Now he comes actually onto Parsha Shkolim. The Shabbos Shalifnei Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Ador, Metzim Shnei Sifrei Torah, you take out two Sifrei Torah, V'Kurim V'Rishon Parsha Shavua, V'Sheni Parsha Shkolim. First one will be the Seder of the Week, and the second will be Parsha Shkolim. This year is different because it's Rosh Chodesh as well, so take out three Sifrei Torah. So mitchila parshas kisisa ad lechaper al chanafshe seichem. The special one for Shekolim is from kisisa, from the beginning, unto the words lechaper al nafshe seichem. Mipnei shebizman beis hamidosh mashmim al shekolim echod ba'ador. Time of the beis hamidosh they used to announce about giving shekolim on the first of Adar. Al edei hachrozas boti adin b'chol Eretz Yisrael, through the announcements of the boti din throughout Eretz Yisrael. Lishko machtes hashekel lechol echod mi Yisrael. Each person had to pay half a shekel for each person, representing each person of Klal Yisrael, Lavium, Leveis HaMikdosh, and to bring to the Beis HaMikdosh, in order they can offer up from the money they receive, which they raise from this half a shekel. So we said they either take out 2 Sifrei Torah or 3 Sifrei Torah. Numik wasn't Rosh Chodesh, it was a normal year. You take out 2. He brings a note that Reb Nosson Adler would not take out a second Sefer Torah. He only took out 1. The reason being, the laning is so close to Kisiso. So this year it's Trumo. It could be Mishpotim, it could be something like that. It's not so far to roll up to Kisiso. Ve'in Torah Liglos. Liglol Sefer Torah at Parshas Kisiso Shreya Sefer. It's not Tircha de Tzibura to roll it on, so just took out 1 Sefer Torah. And Reb Gon Rishmon Salant had exactly the same thing. He wouldn't take out 2 because you don't need to roll it very far and it's not Tircha de Tzibura. Fine. Carries on the Nitte Gavriel. Heichel Miyom Rosh Chodesh Nissan Bolo started from Rosh Chodesh Nissan onwards about collecting the money. Ulahakriv HaKorbonos Metruma Chadosha, and to offer up Korbonos from the new Truma. Lachain Gambaz Manazeh, even nowadays, Kurim Bishabazu Zechel Midosh, one reads the special Maftir on Shabbos Zechel Midosh. V'yesh Omrim, some say Hatan, the reason is Mishum on the Shalma Forum Sefosenu, even though we don't have the same thing, but through our lips, through our mouths, we fulfill the same thing. So we fulfill what they used to do at the time of Mikdash through saying it. The Otam Omri Chazal, and Chazal brought another reason. Golav Yodol Evnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, revealed and known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shosed Haman Horosha Lishkol Shkolim on Yisrael, that Haman Horosha is going to pay Shkolim, corresponding to Klal Yisrael, commercial number of Aseres Alofim Kikar Kesef Eshkol, and 10,000 pieces of silver I will pay Leficha Higdim Eshkolehem Lishkolov. And therefore, the Shkolim we brought offset the ones which Haman brought, came to exactly the same figure, and that's another reason why we say it, and it's just before Purim. So another note he brings here is, so he had 2 reasons. One is, one is at Zeichel Mikdash, and one is on the Shalma Forum Sefosena. So is there a difference between the 2 reasons? So Levush brings there is a difference, and that is, if we say the reason is it's Zeichel Mikdash, and it's a question of announcing that people have to give half a shekel each, therefore that could be done by a cotton, doesn't have to be done by a godel. Just saying, you'll have to start giving, not no chiyuv there. So if not a chiyuv, therefore you can call a cotton up for the maftir. But if you say the reason is it's Zeichel Mikdash and the Shalma Forum Sefosenu, then a cotton can't be called up and you have to call up a godel. He's got a long piece here on our speaker is here. Started at the Terraway, Northwest London. Wednesday, Kaf Aleph Shvat, 19th of February, Rabbi Marino Rav Rashi Simon, Shlita, love your enemy. This week's Torah has been sponsored, Lefor Shleim Hashem Mordechai Ben Achom Nareyoye, Sheyizkel Lefor Shleim Vekor Besor Shor Chalei Yisrael, Amen. Lezchus HaShvei Ma'achalim Ma'achamosh Shachzu Levotem L'Shalom B'mheiro.
Amen. Good morning to everyone. I apologize for my lateness due to parking challenges. Our subject is Love Your Enemy, or Lessons from an Overburdened Donkey. This week's Parsha Mishpatim is full of fascinating, captivating material, much practical, some more in the realm of philosophy. This is a practical one, although we don't have that many chamorim here in Golders Green that I've noticed. But as we shall see, the mitzvah of prika and te'ina still is practical for us. Bizman hazeh kisirech chamor sona'acha roveitz tachas masa'o. Perhaps you will see the donkey of someone that you hate, sona'acha roveitz tachas masa'ol, that is crouching, that is struggling with its burden. V'chadalta me'azov lo azov ta'azov imo. Now, the translation of the words is not that clear. V'chadalta me'azov lo means you shall desist from helping him. V'chadalta, you shall refrain from helping him. Azov ta'azov imo. Now, the word azov means to abandon. But it's evident from the context that the Torah here is enjoining us to assist him. Like azov, as if it said azar. So it's a bit cryptic. Now, the Targum Onkelus understands v'chadalta me'azov lo to mean, as a rhetorical aside, shall you desist from helping him? Shall you refrain from helping him? Azov ta'azov imo means you shall surely help him. So Rashi follows Onkelus here, and Rashi says actually this word aziva means ezra. But not everybody agrees with that. It's not necessarily the pashut pshat, although it very well may be, but it's still an unusual turn of phrase. V'chadalta me'azov lo. There's an implication that you would like to ignore him because he's your enemy. The Torah is giving a hechitimse, is giving a scenario where the person you happen to see, the presumption is that if it's your friend or even a stranger, everybody likes to be, I shouldn't use the expression a good Samaritan, it comes from the New Testament, but everybody likes to be the Baal Chesed, everybody likes to be the one who is, you know, spontaneously assisting another person. When I say everyone, probably some people are so nasty, they don't like to help other people, but Erlich Yidden are naturally, if they have the opportunity, comes their way, they want to do a Chesed. What makes it more challenging here is that the object of your Chesed happens to be your enemy. And it is evident that the Torah is emphasizing the fact that he is your enemy. Just to say that this mitzvah can have practical implications. Many, many years ago, I was flying from New York to Tel Aviv, and I was waiting in line. It was in the days when the travel was a bit inefficient, and there was a long line. I also was in the days when you could take three suitcases if you're traveling internationally. So I had three suitcases plus a carry-on, other things. I had a big hat box as well. I was a yeshiva bacher in those days. And so there was a distinguished-looking man there who was evidently assisting maybe a son or son-in-law who was going to Eretz Yisrael. And he said to me, "Can I hold your hat box for you?" So I said, "You know, I don't want to trouble you." I turned out later on he was Rosh Hashiva and Torah Vadas. So he said to me, "No, it's a very easy azov ta'azov imo." Which is taka true. So holding my hat back, I had so many things I was looking after, trying to carry and everything. Yeah, a suitcase. In that case, yeah. Somebody else said, which I think is true, you know, if you're at a Shabbos table or maybe a Shabbaton or something, again, this is more for yeshiva boys perhaps, and someone's trying to start a nigun and other people are talking. So if you help with starting the nigun, if you participate in it, that's also a form of azov tazov imo. Someone needs your assistance. So there are lots of opportunities that don't only take the form of a beast of burden. There can be many other scenarios where this mitzvah applies. But what I want to focus upon really is the fact that the Torah clearly emphasizes that this is sonacha, someone that you dislike. And still there's a mitzvah to have. And the way the Targum understands it is that you might think that you will refrain from helping him. Mishbak tishbok madvilibach alohi v'tufrakime. Abandon that which is in your heart against him. Azov ta'azov imo v'chadalta me'azov lo means that your impulse might be when you see your enemy whose car is broken down, you think to yourself, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Off I go. But the Torah is saying you should abandon that which is in your heart against him and overcome your impulse to maybe gloat in his downfall, and you've got to assist him. Even to the point where although the Torah has a mitzvah of te'ina, which is helping someone to put a burden on his animal, and te'ina, which is to unload, and the second of those, the parika, to unload, to take the burden off the animal, has the additional chesed that you're helping the animal as well. But as the Gemara says, if a person is faced with an opportunity to assist two people, and one is his friend and one is his enemy, that it's a mitzvah to help the enemy rather than your friend, before your friend. It's a mitzvah to help your friend as well. But if you have a question of priority or you can't do both, it's a greater mitzvah to help your enemy. Why so? The answer, of course, lies in human nature. It is human nature that a person doesn't want to help someone who is his enemy, but by helping him, actually, you can turn an enemy into a friend. I once saw a bumper sticker in America, love your enemy, it will drive him crazy. But in the Jewish perspective, if you love your enemy, then he may not be your enemy anymore. There's a famous story. Yeah.
No, I just want. But before the enemy becomes your friend, hopefully, you're overcoming your yetzer hara.
Of course.
Which is the first step. Which is
absolutely. The point here is that, and even though, by the way, the Mefarshim say, "What do you mean, your enemy sonacha lo sisna sachicha bilvabecha? You're not allowed to hate another yid. You're supposed to love him, not to hate him." So the Gemara says that we're talking here about someone who you're allowed to hate. It's not a very broad category, but there are people whose behavior is so contemptible, and you are maybe a witness to it. You have personal knowledge of what a scoundrel that person is, and therefore you're allowed to hate him. But even so, even a person who is in that narrow band of category that you're allowed to hate him, okay, you hate him for what he's done, or you hate him for the things that he advances, the causes that he, nefarious activities or whatever it might be, something which is hostile and antagonistic to Torah values. Unfortunately, there are such people. But even so, the hostility, your hostility towards him has to be limited. And if you have an opportunity to help him, you should still do so. The point is that by a person overcoming his hostility, he becomes a caring and sensitive and giving and benevolent person. There's a story, Rabbi Saul Salanter's Yortzeit generally falls in the week of Parshas Mishpatim. I think this year it may be the day after his Yortzeit, I think is the 25th of Shavat. And the Talmidim, this I heard from Revolbi many years ago, Zichron Levracha, the Talmidim used to say that it was apt that Rabbi Saul Salanter passed away in the week of Parshas Mishpatim because he spoke so much and he taught so much about interpersonal ethics and about awareness of our interaction with the people around us. So Parshas Mishpatim, as we've seen right now, has so much of that material. Rabbi Saul Salanter was once in a train on his way to Vilna. And it was common practice in those days to smoke a cigarette or a cigar, pipe, that sort of thing. It was a kind of rabbinic habit as well. It was regarded actually as having health benefits, which it's turned out to be the opposite. But that was in fact, there was a tobacco company. I once saw an advertisement here in England from around the turn of the last century. They had Moses Montefiore was their mascot. I doubt if they paid him anything for it. They probably just, took his image. And they said, if you smoke our cigarettes, then you'll live to be 100 like Sir Moses Montefiore. So he was a symbol of someone who has a longevity, also success and prestige and all of that. So they said, we got great medicinal. So it was actually imagined that tobacco had medicinal functions. Yes. But it also can be malodorous. So there was a young guy
And he said to Rabbi Saul Salanter, you know, your cigarette or your pipe is smelling up the car, you know, extinguish it. So he did, and then he opened the window so that it would, you know, for the ventilation, and then the young man was complaining, ah, it's too cold, close the window. So whatever the rabbi did, this young guy was criticizing him. Okay, they got to Vilna, and people came to greet Rabbi Saul Salanter, and the young fellow saw that the person he had been abusing was the great sage. So he went over him to apologize. So he said, Rabbi Saul Salanter said to him, why are you here in Vilna? He said, I'll tell you why I'm here, because I want to take a Kabbalah for Shechita. I want to learn to be a Shochet. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said, my son-in-law is a Rav here in Vilna. Maybe go to him and he'll give you Kabbalah. So anyway, the fellow said, okay, thank you. So he went to him, he took the exam. He failed very miserably. And Rabbi Saul Salanter said to him subsequently, you know, how did the exam go? He said, well, it wasn't that good. He said, you know what? I know someone here who can be a tutor for you. We'll teach you how to do Shechita, teach you the halachos, which he did. Bekitzur, Rabbi Saul Salanter exerted himself so much on behalf of this obnoxious young man that the fellow was like overwhelmed with appreciation and also probably with self-reproach of how he had acted in such an aggressive and insensitive way. And he asked Rabbi Saul Salanter, you know, I would have thought that I would be the last person that you would want to assist because I was so obnoxious and so hostile. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said, no, you've given me a wonderful opportunity. Because the way that you acted towards me meant that I had an opportunity to overcome the feeling of, you know, being offended or something like that. He said, and that is a great chance that has come my way. So, of course, I was only too pleased to seize that opportunity. There was a lot to be said for that capacity, that exercise of one's character, especially with regard to someone of you know, who possibly prima facie one doesn't necessarily approve of that person or get along well with him for whatever the reason may be. There's another perspective here which I want to mention, though, and this is from the Kli Yakar. Actually, we were just in Prague recently. Kli Yakar was it wasn't the Rav in Prague, but he was a darshan in Prague, shortly after the Maharal. Did not succeed the Maharal immediately, but like a generation after. He's buried not far from him in the Beis HaChaim. If you've been to Prague, I'm sure you have been. I'm just mentioning that Derech Agav, but when you read the Perush Kli Yakar, you can often realize that these were drushes that were presented to his congregation, because there's often not just a Musar angle, but a very practical sort of message within it as well. And one can easily imagine him standing on the bima there in the Alt Neuschul, you know, lacing in to his listeners. Probably they loved it. I'm sure he was a very, very gifted orator as well as an outstanding darshan as well in terms of his parish. Found his way to Mikros Gadolo, so that's what we all know about him. So he says an interesting thing about this mitzvah. So you probably know that the Torah says, Azov Tazov Imo, which means that you shall help along with him. So Kli Yakar says, Davka Shirotzilios Imcha B'Malachto. That's speaking where he, the one who needs the assistance, wants to endeavor as well. He values your help. He may need your help, but he is also endeavoring on his own to do what he can. Then you have to help him. He needs your help, you should help him. But what if? He sits down and says, hey, you've got a mitzvah to do. So get on with it. He sees you, says, it's a good thing that you're here. I'm going to sit down here on the park bench, you know, and I'll let you do the work. The Torah says, you know, Azov to Azov. So Kli Yakar says, therefore it says, V'chadalta me'azov lo. There may be a scenario where you should not be doing the work on his behalf. V'chadalta me'azov lo. Don't do it for him, do it with him. And he goes on to say, "Kimutar lecha lachdol min azovlo." You are allowed to desist from helping him. Gesheinu rotzelios imcha b'malachto. If he doesn't want to be with you in doing the work that he wants to do or he needs to do, he's letting you get on with the work on his behalf. And now he adds, "Umikan tshuva al mitzvas aniim b'nei amenu." He says, "This is a tshuva." By the way, in earlier times, they used the word tshuva in the opposite way that we do. We use the word tshuva as an answer. They use the word tshuva as a challenge. Like you say, kama tshuvos koshos bedavar. Tshuva is like a response, a riposte. He says, mikan tshuva al miktsas aniim b'nei amenu. This is a rebuke for some of the aniim in b'nei amenu, mun unzura, hamatilim esatzman lahatzibor, and they become a public charge. They say, "Look, I need help." So I say to the gabbai tzedakah, "You've got to help me. You've got to provide me food, clothing, place to live. You've got to do it for me." Ve'einan rotzin lasos b'shum malacha. They don't want to do any work themselves. Af im b'yadam lasos b'ezim malacha. They have the capacity to do so, but they don't want to. They don't want to bother themselves. He says, "V'korin tigar im ein nostin lehem demachsoram." And they're very put out if the people, the kehila, doesn't provide for their needs. Ki devar ze lo tziva Hashem kim azov ta'azov imo. Hakem takim imo. You help him. If he's helping himself, then you should help him as well. So I don't want to get political, but this would seem to be a criticism of the benefit system that is sometimes abused, where a person declines to work because, as well, the state will pay me not to work, so why should I work? So it says a clear car, and that's his point, how he interprets this. So a person is of limited means. He should endeavor, he should exert himself in every way that he can. And if he still falls short at the end of the month, then every person has a responsibility to help him, but only if he has endeavored first to help himself. So this is how Kli Yakar understands the message of our mitzvah here. Azov tazov imo. If he's helping himself, then you should help him. But I want to return to this idea of overcoming a person's natural reluctance to help an enemy and the benefit that can come from that. There is a well-known theme that appears and is developed very in a very compelling way by Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu. He has a special, even separate sort of collection called Kuntres HaChesed. I'm sure you've come across it. And the principle, the underlying theme of his thinking on this subject is that a person who invests in someone else, if he gives to someone else, then it promotes love of that person. He says, "V'kan sheli afel medes lefanenu, hein ha'ahava v'hanesina boz ka'achas." Giving and loving tend to go together. He says, "Is the giving a consequence of the love, or is the love a consequence of the giving?" Hurganu lachshov v'hanesina l'todos ahava. If I love someone, then I give to that person. If I love my children or my wife or a friend, then, or a cause for that matter, then I give to it. And I give to that person. But there's another point of view. A person loves that in which he invests effort and time. If I've invested in someone, if I have a student, and I've taught that student, and I've advised that student, maybe I've helped him in other ways as well, so I've done a lot for him, it tends to be the case that I have a more greater love and affection for that person than I would have for someone who just comes to a shir from time to time and I don't have the same relationship with him. It's often the case that a person has a more profound and a more acute sense of connection and affection for that in which he is invested. And he says that it's true, in ben yihye ashiyalad o imein, a child, a son or a daughter, or if a person has an apprentice, o chaya asher gidel, or even if you have an animal. I don't know if they had household pets in Gateshead in his day. I don't know if they did or they didn't, but you know, they had probably had barnyard animals, possibly. Even something like that, even a balcha, im tzemach asher nata, or if you plant a sapling and it grows year by year, you have a connection to it. And he says, o az gam min hadomeim, even if it's something that you've built, a person builds a house. So if he's involved in the building of the house, if he's an architect, or if he's an actual builder, or if he's a DIY enthusiast, and he's done work on his house himself, he has more of a connection to it. Hen hu davuk lemase yado ba'ahava ki es atzmo yimetzabem, because he finds himself in that item in which he has invested. And he goes on to tell an interesting story about a small family, a mother, a father, and a child, a young child, who were separated during the war. I suspect he means World War I, because there are many Jews who were displaced. Most of them survived. It wasn't the horrors of World War II, but it was the horrors of World War I, which had been overshadowed. But there was terrible displacement. Millions of Jews and probably tens of millions of others were displaced and had to flee. And it was a time of great upheaval. And as a result of the war, they were separated. The father and the boy went one way, and the mother took flight, and she was able to survive the war somewhere else. And years later, several years later, they were able to get back together. Ra'isi masi hine horim tzi'irim ra'uas kol chemdas chayeim bivanam hakatan. They had a young son who they loved very much, that was their future. They had only one son. And as we said, they went separated. He says, B'nei mishpacha kol v'yismuchu ish b'rei'u ma'od, and then they were reunited after the war. They all survived. Hine pele, lo yichlu l'sakenes asher chasar lehem bizmano. They could not rectify what already happened. They couldn't turn back the clock. What happened? The relationship between the father and the son was a greater love than between the mother and the son. Of course she missed her son. Of course she had a longing for him. And the joy of being reunited was indescribable. But the love between the father and the son, who had invested so much more in him because for the past few years they were fleeing together. And the mother left him, maybe he was 4 years old, and now he's 7 or 8 years old, for example, something like that. He's become a different child, and she hasn't helped him in any way over those years, maybe, you know, in some metaphysical way. The result is that the love between the father and the son was more profound. He says that this is why the Torah says that even when you are faced with a friend or an enemy, you should help your enemy. This is love your enemy. And I'll just end by saying, the English translation actually is very felicitous. It's not a word-for-word translation. He says, Rabbi Desto saw the impact that our deeds have on our soul traits. We don't have to wait until our hearts are fully open and infused with natural generosity before we begin to give. To the contrary, acts of generosity awaken love and foster the soul trait of generosity. If you act in a generous way, you become a generous person. And if you do an act of love for your enemy, then you'll transform your enemy into your friend. Thank you very much. I wish you well. Easier said than done, by the way.
Okay, for the Shabbos? Okay, for the Shabbos. Yeah.